be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know.
And we're going to let this song go. I'm assuming that's from Frozen. This is Breakthrough Entertainment. Greg Isaac alongside Joseph Erdo. And, of course, 4 hours coming up of Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. The next two you'll spend with us in entertainment talk and, of course, in real hockey talk and Breakthrough Sports following that. But, Joseph, how was your Thanksgiving?
I had a great Thanksgiving. A great Thanksgiving and a great, even better Black Friday.
Absolutely. We'll hear all about that later on. We got a lot on the agenda, of course. Like I said, I assume the song is from Frozen, which is one of our first movies we'll discuss.
It's our snow show today.
Snow show, absolutely. We got some great guests today. We got Bob Eckstein, the history of the snowman. He's a cartoonist, I believe, with the New Yorker.
Yes, with the New Yorker.
By the way, I'm not turning this off.
This song is
staying on the whole show.
Idina Menzel.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's awesome.
This is fantastic.
Hey, we finally picked a song that Eric liked.
Yeah, look at Eric's smile. He is excited.
Yes. Oh, I got a copy of
Eric
you
just
of the
left.
Soundtrack.
Where'd he go? Another special guest, we have Jason Stratton with the Arizona Snow Bowl. We'll talk about that, all the great stuff going up there in Flagstaff. I've never been, but, you know, maybe we'll see what he says, all the stuff going on there. Some other movies we'll get into, Homefront, and as well as Philomena, if I said that
Philomena,
right.
Philomena, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
And a good old-fashioned snowball fight
With
the
Dave Randoms and Lightman. Even though Dave is not here, you know, he should be back for next week's show. But yeah, a lot of great stuff. And of course, throughout the show, we'll talk about what we did on Thanksgiving, how much weight we gained just in that one day. And then Joseph, of course, with your Black Friday adventures.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to talk, because when we saw each other today, we kind of asked each other about the Thanksgiving Day Parade, because I know we both love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Oh, absolutely. You can't go wrong.
Did you watch the coverage on Channel 5 or Channel 12?
Channel 12, yeah.
12, yeah. NBC. Yeah, that's the official one, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was great.
As long as it doesn't hurt anyone.
yeah, there we go.
As long as it
Dave
doesn't
is
hurt.
With us.
Yes, he is. Thanks, Dave. The official one, that was great. I loved it. I loved the new balloons, Toothless the Dragon from How to Train Your Dragon.
I remember that, yeah.
And, you know, some of the other new balloons, did you see the Wizard of Oz balloon? The hot air balloon?
I don't think I saw that one.
That was like an actual hot air balloon, and they had the wizard in the basket.
Oh, absolutely.
They all had to fly a little lower this year, though, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. You know, and I watched the first 2 hours or so on NBC. It was like 9 to 11. I missed the last hour. But in the first 2 hours, I didn't get to hear all the interviews and all the things going on. But I saw a lot of it. Obviously, one of my favorites was the hockey float that had the kids playing hockey. And you had Cam Neely, Mike Richter, two former players. And but yeah, you know, you can't go wrong with Snoopy, who, of course, is, I think, the longest, you know, he's been in there many years.
The sixth generation or something like that.
Since Dave was a baby. So, you know.
And how about, I'm sure that Mason, he loves the Minions. Did he see the Minion float?
He did not, actually.
No. Oh, you got to cue that up.
He loves
online.
His Snoopy and his hockey ones. If you say some of the others, then it'll bring back memories of just a few days ago.
No, I know. There was so much. I mean, you had Joan Jett singing on one of the floats, and then we had...
You did. That's right.
And then, of course, Santa Claus at the end, really exciting.
Absolutely.
And Frozen loves to see Santa Claus at the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was surprised. I kept having to hold Frozen, my duck, by the way, if we have any new listeners, my pet duck, Frozen, I held him up to the TV to see several of the different floats. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that there would be so many ducks in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
There was quite a few. That's right. When I saw that, actually, that Mason loved the Affleck duck as well.
It's a great float. And, of course, there was, like, I think Homewood Suites or something. And near the end of the parade, they had a big float with several ducks on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, there was some sort of team that was there was a duck on it, too. There was a duck
there
mascot.
There may have been, yeah.
There was so many ducks. And, you know, even there was a goose on one of the harvest, wild woodland creatures.
Well, what's disappointing is, why wasn't Frozen in the parade this year?
Well, he thought he was in the parade.
He did. So, while he was watching, he was making noises and quacking.
Yeah, and he loves, like I said, again, he loved to see Santa Claus coming, to be at the end of the parade.
Absolutely.
It harkens in the holiday season. And then, of course, you know, I have a cat. I don't think I've talked about a kitten.
I had no idea you had a cat. Well, I just found out you had a duck.
I know. That's why I don't want to spring this on you.
Yeah.
The cat's name is Your Next. It's really named Your Next.
I don't really like cats that much. There's a few like little kitties sometimes that are cute, but I've always been more of a dog person.
She's horribly, horribly mean.
And, she is.
So the name definitely fits because Your Next, the horror movie. And her favorite was the Hello Kitty balloon.
Wow.
Yes, because that was the new
one last
year.
I remember that. I saw that. Yeah.
And I held her up to the TV to see that one, and she went wild. And then I gave her like a little Hello Kitty toy that used to be Frozen's, and she's like tearing that thing up and throwing it in her litter box.
This is just a shtick, right? I mean, it's not really true.
This is true.
This is really true. You
completely
really,
true.
Well, how old is this cat? Because if it's called Your Next, it's probably fairly young.
She was born, I think, around in June.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, is it Frozen's daughter?
She killed her brother.
Oh, she did?
Yes. I am not kidding. I'm not going to explain how, because it's... Yeah. But it's she killed her brother when she was just like 2 weeks old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, fiery kitty there.
And that's the cat you wanted.
Well, yes, I wanted
the
brother.
You gotta watch out.
I wanted her brother.
Watch out for, you know, Frozen around the cat.
Yes, I'm worried about that.
How does that work?
It doesn't work that well, but they have to stay at their separate corners. But Frozen knows that he's a good uncle, so he keeps
uncle
his distance.
Uncle Frozen.
Yes.
Very good.
But, you know, something that bothered me about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good, this part of the parade. You know, they have these Broadway performances and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see the Kinky Boots performance?
I did, yes.
And there was nothing wrong with that, was there?
No, not at all.
I mean, yes, you had cross-dressers and stuff like that.
That's
fine. It's inspired by a movie.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it's inspired by a movie, Kinky Boots.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really
fine.
Good movie, great message. And if you listen to the song, it had a really great message about, you know, accepting others and expressing yourself.
Absolutely, yeah.
Really, you know, and it was a great performance.
Mm-hmm.
I went on Macy's Thanksgiving Day's Parade's Facebook.
Yeah.
And people are boycotting Macy's. They would not
because
go to Macy's
that.
Because they said their kid saw it, and now their kid is completely confused, and how are they going to explain that? I mean,
those are people from like Iowa.
Yeah, yeah. Bible Belt states and stuff like that.
I was so frustrated with these people. And they said they will never watch the parade again because it should be a family-friendly parade.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, if you don't introduce your kid to the real world.
Cross-dressers have families.
Yes,
yeah,
they do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
And again, they obviously didn't listen to the words, and they've never seen the movie because it's got a really inspiring message to it. So people are just so closed-minded.
There's a lot, yeah.
I'm going to reach through that computer and, you know, strangle them.
I hear you there, and I agree. But, yeah, that's silly. With almost anything, you see that. You see that angry crowd, usually, like Eric said, from states like that. Just get upset at every little thing. It's, you know, it shouldn't be made a big deal at all. Nothing was wrong with it. It was a great performance.
Yeah, it was a great performance, a great parade. So I will definitely be watching next year. I didn't go to Macy's for the day after Thanksgiving, for Black Friday.
Oh, I heard they had some good stuff.
They did have some great stuff.
It's a long flight.
Yes, yeah. I would have liked to have gone to that one. They've got some nice store windows, displays and stuff. But no, I went to, I sent you some pictures, right?
I saw a few, yeah. You at Anthem.
Outlets at Anthem. I got a free gift card. I stood
by
the
Well, how much was the gift card?
$25.
That's really good.
Yeah, great gift card.
You got some good stuff.
That's enough to buy Frozen a new costume.
I think so.
Well, unfortunately, I had to buy it at Tommy Hilfiger, and I got a pair of jeans for myself, because Frozen doesn't wear jeans.
Very good. Well, he doesn't. Why not?
Because they don't make them small enough, I guess.
He's got diapers.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, well, they should.
They got Frozen
Start
jeans.
This up and make some money off of it.
They even have the diaper jeans. I never got, when Mason was younger, I never got any of those for him. But, you know, we'd always kind of look at those and say, interesting.
Nice,
you know?
Nice.
So,
and then the next
I think
morning,
Frozen deserves a pair.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. So, but then the next morning, I went and got a Downton Abbey teacup at World Market, Cost Plus World Market, completely free.
Like that place.
Yeah.
And it's a great place. And it was completely free for the first 100 people or something like that. And so, and there was a lady in front of me. She was really excited talking about this teacup that she couldn't wait to get. And she, of course, was British.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I'll drink some tea.
She goes, I'm very excited about the
teacup.
Sound Asian there.
I know. I don't
have a cup of
that,
tea.
Right.
Yeah, it's tough to do the British one.
Yes, it is.
You have your teeth stick out a little.
I know. I saw someone on TV like that.
Yeah, we'll have to have Seth MacFarlane join us and help us out with that. Oh, and also, very sad passing of Brian Griffin, of course, last Sunday.
Yes.
My favorite dog in the entire world. Just a tragic.
That was terrible.
He's playing hockey, though.
Right at the holidays, too, you know?
Yeah, but it's a cartoon. He can come back.
I think he will at some point, but still, you know, we got to live with it for right now.
Kenny on South Park always comes back.
He does, yeah. And I think Brian will be back if you see the names of some future episodes. So in one way or another. Vinny, the new dog, though, the Griffin's new Italian. Interesting dog. He's pretty funny as well. But no one will master Brian Griffin. Yes. He was the greatest.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we'll see him again soon. Yeah,
absolutely. And in speaking of pets, you know, just I also went to Petco and PetSmart, and I got some Christmas gifts for Frozen and Urnax.
Wow.
And,
yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So a lot of fun. And but of course, you know, unless you want to share anything else at the moment about Thanksgiving or Black Friday for you, and we can talk more about it later.
Well, yeah, we'll get into it later. Okay. Yeah.
All right. But of course, today, as I said, is our snow show. Very excited to talk about Frozen. Now, this is not the movie that my duck, Frozen, is named after. Mm-hmm. That one we'll talk about here shortly. But
there's two?
Yes, that one was a horror movie, and we'll talk about that one in a few moments.
And I saw that one like a year ago, yeah.
But this one is actually a new film. It's a Disney animated film called Frozen, and Kristen Bell plays a fearless optimist who, when a prophecy traps a kingdom in eternal winter, teams up with an extreme mountain man, voiced by Jonathan Groff, on an epic journey to find her sister, the Snow Queen, voiced by Idina Menzel, as you heard in that song, Let It Go, to put an end to her icy spell. Now, I know you said that you're looking forward to seeing this movie, right?
I am, yeah. I think Mason will love this one.
It opened on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And how about you, Eric? Do you like the Disney movies?
I loved the first two Toy Stories. Loved.
Yeah. Well, those are Pixar.
Third one, no.
Okay.
But
you didn't like the third one.
I love the third one.
That is my favorite. Yeah, animated of all time.
That stuffed teddy bear guy that was evil.
That was it was kind of dark and disturbing, actually.
Yeah, so was life.
But it shows life.
Yes.
Yeah, I can attest to that. But no, I mean, I do like some animated stuff. Some I don't.
Yeah. Well, I've been getting really disappointed with a lot of the Disney stuff lately.
And I'm not obliged anymore to have to take my kids to see this because now they're like 18 and 15. So.
But they don't like it anymore?
No.
Come on now.
No, my oldest son is busy creating stuff like that.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. And so is Mason excited, Greg?
He is, yeah, because he loves snowmen. Yeah, so whenever he sees the preview, he's like,
Olaf the Snowman, voiced by Josh Gad, who we loved in Thanks for Sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, really great cast in here.
Absolutely.
And, but again, I haven't really liked a lot of the Disney films lately. I mean, Tangled was okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, Wreck-It Ralph, I thought it was really good, but not wonderful.
And this is the same creators of those two, right?
Yes, it is. It is. But you know what? It's the best Disney animated
movie
Lion King.
I thought you were going to say you liked it. I don't know why. I just had this feeling that is fantastic.
Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a wonderful, I forgot the...
Life?
Yeah. That's what the word is?
Is it?
I don't know. I forgot. I know the song. But
it means no worries.
Most of my favorite songs, I actually don't even know the words to. I just kind of go along with.
Oh, yeah.
Usually, I always sing different words, and then everyone has to, interrupt me and say, not only is your singing bad, but you're saying the wrong words. I go, yeah, I did it on purpose.
Well, when you were a kid, did you, sing all the Disney songs?
I did, yeah. Right. Aladdin, Lion King. Oh, I even liked The Little Mermaid. You know, that was some good stuff. I was in the play. I think I was, a merman or something like
that. A merman.
Yeah, it's like
five or six. I thought you were
going
to say that you were Ariel for a moment.
I tried to be. They wouldn't let me.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
You wouldn't fit in the fish skin stockings.
There was that, and then folks from those middle states, they found out about it. They go, this kid in California wants to be doing that, and they're like, no.
I'm boycotting it.
Yeah.
Frozen is fantastic, and in the music here, it's the first time that Disney has made a movie with all this music since its classic days, you know? When we were kids. And that's what I've really been missing. I mean, they've had a few movies here and there that have tried. But this has got some really great music. And I know that, Eric, I you're being sarcastic about our first song. But that song, I believe,
I was not.
It, well, You wait. It's going to be the it's going to win the Oscar for Best Original Song of the Year.
Okay, I trust you on that.
Yes, but hopefully the this version sung by Idina Menzel, because the version sung by Demi Lovato, no thank you.
No?
No.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who Demi Lovato is?
Don't know.
You're lucky.
Yeah. Well,
you can look at
she's
it.
She's okay now.
I hear,
yeah.
I hear the name, and I know she's on some TV show or something, but...
Was it The Voice or X Factor? One of those two.
I don't know.
With the Simon fellow.
She's on Glee now, too.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she is. Yeah. But so is Adam Lambert as well.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Yes. And I like Adam Lambert.
Does he play the cross-dresser?
No, he doesn't. but yeah, you know, so this is not only the best animated adventure of the year, but it's also a remarkably triumph return for return to form for Disney. It stuns with breathtakingly beautiful visuals, magnificent musical numbers, wonderfully fun characters, and a simple yet engaging story. We all know the story of the Ice Queen, right?
We do.
Or the Snow Queen. Is it the Ice Queen? Snow Queen?
Something like that.
Yeah, one or the other. Yeah. And, you know, but it's got a really meaningful message that about exuding love. It's essential to audiences of all ages. So I believe that Mason is going to love it. You're going to love it, Greg.
Yes.
And, you know, even with a frozen heart over here, you are going to love it too, Eric.
Well, I did watch Paranorman. So I might even watch
there you
this
go.
When it comes to Netflix.
Hey. Wow, Paranorman.
I did not like
that. That wasn't Disney, though, right?
No, it wasn't.
I got about two-thirds of
Spielberg,
the way through.
Right? Or was it? Oh, wait, I'm thinking Monster House.
Yeah, you got the good
I did
part
see Monster House.
That was
Monster
pretty
was
good.
Good.
Yeah.
Monster House was good.
Because
yeah.
I think Spielberg had his hands on that.
Yeah. So, you know, but this is the only wonder is the Snow Queen, the Ice Queen, whatever it is. It's such a classic story. Hans Christian Andersen, right? It's a classic fairy
Isn't
tale.
Isn't he the dude that does, what's it called? The Nutcracker.
Is it?
Oh, I Possibly? Don't know.
I don't know. Well, yeah. it's one of these names
There's a lot
heard
of Nutcrackers everywhere.
Yeah, Hans Christian Andersen wrote tons of stories.
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Fairy tale type stuff.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that it's taken this long for Disney to actually take this fairy tale and make it into a movie.
Yeah, it is interesting, actually.
I mean, yeah, and so it we finally have a new Disney masterpiece.
Very good.
Worthy of joining their catalog of classics. So this is, needless to say, a very strong breakthrough.
Because there's been some good Disney stuff over the years, but you're right. I mean, partly because we were kids when these came out, with the Aladdin, Lion King, and even Little Mermaid, and some others. And then obviously when you look way classic, when you go back, you know, it seems like we haven't seen a lot of that. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't really think of much, but I know there's been some good stuff that's come around that's been by Disney in terms of animated. But definitely when you talk to people, you know, talk about your Disney favorites, most of them will always be the older ones. Even kids today that get to see stuff like Aladdin and Lion King, they go, wow, we love that. So, you know, it's good to hear that from you. And like I said, this is something I'm definitely going to check out with Mason, probably tomorrow. So I'll talk about it on next week's show.
Yeah, can't wait. Because, you know, it's really worth seeing. You got to see it in 3D or at least on the big screen because, you know, the snow is amazing. The scene when she's singing that song that we played into the show, Let It Go, is just so breathtaking. You know, the way that she's like moving her arms and there's snow and there's ice going everywhere. It's just really an impressive motion picture. And again, for audiences of all ages, and it's perfect for the holidays. I'm so glad they released it the day before Thanksgiving. If you didn't see it yesterday with your family, go this weekend.
See it now. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely before Christmas. Perfect. You know, and that's why we are, I know, celebrating Frozen with our snow show today.
Snow show.
By the way, Hans Christian Andersen wrote lots of good stories.
Really?
Some other Disney films. The Little Mermaid.
Hey, yeah.
That was him.
Wow. And he also wrote The Emperor's New Clothes, The Ugly Duckling, and a handful of others that you've heard of.
Oh, so he wrote The Car Place. Very cool.
He wrote Toy Story.
He
Cars.
Did. Wow.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was going to say.
The Emperor's New Clothes, The Emperor's New Groove. So
yeah. Oh, that was actually pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I like that.
You got to make it.
Well, see, I like Mulan and stuff. I know I don't think you did, Joseph. But some of those I liked as well. But again, yeah, it's good to hear this, you know, because, I mean, the classics are Aladdin, The Lion King, and stuff like that. So it's good to kind of get back to that.
And I'm sure that you know, if you were anything like me when you were a kid, you kind of had a crush on Ariel and stuff like that.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
I was so happy that in the original American Pie, you know, Jason Biggs' character, of course, Jim Levenstein, was big on Ariel as well. And it was great to hear that. I'm like, wow, I'm not the only one.
Well, Adina,
I was in the theater. I was like, that came out. I was like 13 years old, and I stood up and said, yeah. And everyone looked at me going, yeah, we knew it.
Wow. Well, Idina Menzel's character in this, Elsa, the Snow Queen, she is absolutely gorgeous. Or should I say a little more appropriate, she's hot.
An animated film?
Yeah, yeah. She's really
cute. Remember, Joseph owns a duck.
I'm a little whacked. No,
But Kristen Bell's character I didn't see, but
she's
in real
okay
life,
too.
Though.
She's
but
okay.
In real life, yeah.
Oh, yeah, in real
absolute
life.
Absolute treat.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got these... What?
No.
Did you see that film that she was in where she was the lifeguard? It was called The Lifeguard.
I didn't see that.
I have it to watch, but is it okay?
It's actually an okay film. Yeah? I liked it.
Because she's in a lifeguard outfit?
No, that wasn't so thrilling for me.
Really? Well, see, I haven't seen that. I know I'm forgetting Sarah Marshall, though. Mm-hmm. She looked great. And that's one of my favorite movies of all time. But
yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's, of course, Dax Shepard's...
Her wife now.
Yeah, that's true.
Married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's funny in Idiocracy. Did you ever see that?
I love that. Luke Wilson. Yeah. That's great stuff.
Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... But definitely go out and see Frozen. But the reason I was saying about how, you know, she's hot and everything, their eyes and everything, they look really like people. I mean, it's
well, they don't have the big round eyes.
They it is a really skinny waist. So people are a little upset about that because the movie's got a really interesting theme about, love and exuding love. It's not your typical Disney, prince and princess type fairy tale.
Right.
You know, it's got a different story about
what they've got to do in the future, though. I think they'll have this, actually. I was talking to Michael J. Fox about it, and he said we can take the DeLorean sometime and check it out. But they'll have animated characters actually marry, real humans in real life. Yeah, hey. We'll bring them to life, and we'll have them walking around. It's like that Cool World movie, Kim Basinger.
The two-pack hologram
absolutely.
At Coachella or wherever that was.
Yeah, I think we'll have that. So, Joseph, you will find your wife, either Ariel or the Snow Queen.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Well, and they won't mind who you are. With the duck and all.
Yeah.
Well, Frozen will be the best man.
Yes, he certainly will. The theme, real briefly, love thaws a frozen heart. Love thaws a frozen heart. Really strong message there for audiences of all ages again. So go out and see Frozen. And, of course, another movie that is got the same title as Frozen, the movie that Frozen, my duck, is inspired, his name. That's how I got his name.
Yeah.
A really great movie about people stuck on a ski lift, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there was coyotes or dogs or something below.
Wolves.
Yeah.
And their fingers were freezing.
From Twilight.
Yeah. Their fingers were freezing. Taylor Lautner. Fingers were freezing on the ski lift. And
they were.
Yeah. And it was a really terrifying movie. Mm. One of my favorite movies of all time. Single setting thriller. Should definitely go out and rent Frozen if you are old enough to watch that. But our song that's going to take us into the break is Helicopter, Helicopter from Helicopter Fight Song from the movie Frozen. So really exciting.
Absolutely. And we'll be back right here on Breakthrough Entertainment. We'll have special guest cartoonist with The New Yorker, Bob Eckstein, joining us after the break. And we'll be right back.
We've bathed ourselves in dread and despair. We put in our time from Boston to Buffalo.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Yeah, welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment. Greg Isaac alongside Joseph Erdo. And Joseph, I don't know what movie the song is from. I've heard it before. I'm sure I've seen the movie because of that. Let us know.
If I say the word, okay, if it's not, if it's...
Yeah, give us a little
initials?
Hint.
I-A.
I-A?
Yes.
Wow.
And the second word is something that Dave has many of.
Both words have only three letters.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
I have no
idea.
And
Dave has many of these, the second word.
And it starts with an A?
Yeah.
I mean, he's old, so he's age. Ice Age.
Oh!
There we go. Saturday morning, it takes me a little longer to get going. Even with my coffee. And Eric, I'll grab some of your coffee as well
It's espresso, too, so it's beefy.
Wow. Yeah, because there's a lot of action. Because after our 4 hours on here, we're going to the God's Gate, the Coyotes tailgate, and we'll be there probably around 3, but doing that from 4 to 5.
No ASU today?
No ASU. I'm strictly... hockey. So if it's anything else, I have no idea, but we could talk ASU hockey later on. There we go.
Yeah, well, of course it's our snow show, so yes, that was from Ice Age. Mm-hmm. And you know, that song is Send Me On My Way by Rusted Root. Really cute animated film, the first Ice Age. I thought that all of the Ice Ages have been pretty good, haven't they?
I believe so. You know, I to be honest, I've only seen the first one.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I've seen parts of the other. Well, there's three now, right?
I think there might be four.
There might even be four.
Yeah.
Ray Romano, I think,
yeah,
was involved.
Yeah, there's four, because there's the Meltdown, the second one, then the Dawn, the Dinosaur one.
Something
third,
like that.
And then the one where they're all pirates.
I think I've only seen the first one, and that was a while ago, which is why I didn't recognize the song as much. I knew I had heard it, but yeah, I'll have to check out the other one, especially this time of year. With all the great snow, of course, in Phoenix. I mean, snowing like crazy today out here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen snow when it's 70 degrees.
Okay, and so we have on our very special guest. He is the writer of The History of the Snowman, because again, this is our snow show. We're all talking about Frozen, and so we have on, he's also a cartoonist for The New Yorker. His name is Bob Eckstein.
Yeah, absolutely, and Bob, welcome to Breakthrough Entertainment.
Hello, gentlemen.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. I was just enjoying the show, and I wanted to chime in about the movie Frozen, if I may.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, I saw 5 minutes of it, and I'm a person who studied animation in college, and also I did a lot of studying of Hans Christian Andersen for my book because of his Snow Queen story and things like that. So I had a little interest in the movie, and I was really amazed by it. It really does look really fascinating. I mean, it looks interesting even with the sound off. So, but just a visual point of view, it's really cool. And I did ask my nephew, who helps me write some of my jokes, my nephew Nick, who's 10 years old. I asked him if he was going to watch the movie, and he had a funny comeback and asked if we didn't have enough Disney fairy tales already. But it isn't really a fairy tale. They do try to twist it a little bit, and so hopefully people won't be turned off by what seems like another fairy tale story in the trailer, but it's actually a little bit different.
Right, and it's also, you know, it looks at first glance that it's just for girls, but, you know, there's a lot of action in it as well. And, of course, a really, really funny snowman voiced by Josh Gad, and his name is Olaf. So did you see his design as well?
Yeah. Like I said, it was just mesmerizing just seeing the snow. You just seeing the way they executed the special effects was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I didn't see it, of course. You know, Joseph obviously called it a breakthrough, which is really equivalent, a five-star movie.
Yeah, it's one of the top 20 movies of the year. It might even sneak in my top 10, possibly.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really want to see this. And I agree with you, Bobby. You know, we're seeing the trailer, just how great the effects look. And also, my favorite part of the trailer was when they're on that little carriage or whatever, and the guy's like, yeah, take your feet off. You know, it's a new carriage or whatever. So, yeah, it looks great all around, not just for kids but adults, and I know that's what Joseph had mentioned, so I'm definitely looking forward to this. Now Bob, we never, obviously being in Phoenix, Joseph and myself, we have no idea what snow looks like or feels like.
We don't make so many snowmen here.
Absolutely. And tell us a little bit about your history, the history of snowmen, of course.
It's a book now, and first of all, where can people buy it, and what information will they find in it?
Well, the book was actually meant for the holidays, for people who weren't celebrating Christmas necessarily. This was a non-denominational book. I thought it would be fun to explore this history. When I first started, it's actually started about 8 years ago, when I wanted to write a book, a mystery book. And I always liked Sherlock Holmes, but I didn't want to make it like a crime mystery. I wanted to answer like one of life's big questions. And this could have been like, who told the first joke or who made the first sandwich? But luckily, I picked who made the first snowman. And I just started researching this subject. I traveled around the world just about for about 7 years, going to all these different museums and libraries throughout Europe, talking with art historians and professors of cultural history, and gathering up all the pieces of the puzzle from them and their cooperation. I was able to piece together how long ago man was making snowmen, and as a form of folk art. And it led me back to the Middle Ages, when making snowmen was an early form of pornography and political commentary, and it was much more of an activity than it is today. Right now, people associate it mostly with kids making snowmen. That's basically because of Frosty the Snowman changed the image of the snowman. But early on, this was a very adult activity where as people used to stroll through the village of the medieval town to enjoy the snow scenes that were created on all the different street corners.
Oh, I had no idea that it had those origins.
Yeah, me neither. It's unbelievable. I think I've built a few snowmen when I've been in the snow a couple times. I'm used to the cold because I've played hockey my whole life, which is really weird growing up in California and Arizona. But on trips and stuff, you know, and we would go to Utah up here to Flagstaff, Colorado, and got to do that, snowball fights and whatnot. But yeah, that's interesting to hear that was the origin of it. So
I didn't know it either. When I started, I was like you. I didn't think there was going to be much there, but I just started pursuing it, and then I got the feeling like, wow, there's all these stories to be told that no one's known before, and I feel like I kind of found like a winning lottery ticket, that I kind of stumbled upon some stories that would make for an interesting history, not just a book, but just for people to learn more about one of what I think could be one of the few activities we share with our ancestors.
Right, right. And I know that when we were speaking earlier this week, you mentioned that you've got a part of the book that also deals with the earliest forms of snowmen in movies, right?
That's right. There's a whole chapter about the snowman's Hollywood career. And it's funny, the snowman's always kind of been on the forefront of different technology and advancements. Like, when photography first came to be in the 1840s, it was the snowman in one of the first, like, dozen photographs. And in the case of the movies, it's the same thing, where there's some silent movies in which was of snowman making. As a matter of fact, I had a really fortunate opportunity to see these films myself. There's this sort of secret archive of movies. It's a little town in Pennsylvania. And this is set up by the Meyer Museum of Art. They own, like, the largest archive of old prints of movies. And actually, famous directors actually keep their collections in this vault as well, which is underground. To get to it, it's a secret location. It's like going to the beginning of, like, Batman, the TV show, when that, like, you go, you're driving in the woods, and all of a sudden the sign goes down, and the next thing you know, you're opening up to, like, a cave or something. It was just like that. It was, like, amazing. And at this location, the officials there let me see some of these movies from the turn of the century, which goes back to, like, 1899, and there's another snowman silent movie around 1804. And that was just amazing. It was just amazing. It was very clear as well. Everyone imagined it be all scratchy and stuff, but these are actually very clear, crisp movies.
Oh, yeah. And of course, we're still seeing movies about snowmen. I mean, you know, just a few years ago, we had Jack Frost.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And I know, I love that movie. And how about you, Eric? Do you?
You know what? It was a while back. I don't quite recall it all.
But of course, Bob knows someone who, or Eric, sorry, Greg, do you like that? Jack Frost?
Yeah, I liked it. Michael Keaton. I know there's a couple different Jack Frosts.
There was another horror one.
There was a horror one as well.
Shannon Elizabeth. And,
but Bob remembers that someone did not like Jack Frost, right?
Yeah, it was, I think the character in it is what he hated the most. Roger Ebert called the character Jack Frost the worst character ever in movie history.
Wow.
It was kind of a weird movie. You know, the father dies, comes back as a snowman, calls the family on the phone. So getting a phone call from a snowman, a lot of people are not going to go with that premise.
True. But it was still fun.
It's hard to pick up the phone with a twig arm.
Hey, it could happen.
Yeah. And, you know, but of course, at one point, your book was going to be made into a movie, correct?
Yeah, there was a lot of progress made. We had a lot of excitement over making it into a movie. But at the same time, our economy went through sort of a meltdown, no pun intended. This was like around 2008. But at the time, we had people like Michael Palin from Monty Python attached to it.
Mm.
He was expressing some interest. We had spoken to him. And then we went on to Mo Rocca, the comedian, and he was attached to the project. And we had other people who were all attached to it and stuff. But with movies in Hollywood, a lot of times things fall apart because of money and stuff. And in this case, we had to put it on the shelf. And it kind of came back to life a little bit later again by another studio. And then hopefully, I mean, I'm hoping that one day it will come back and we will try to make something. Because I think that we're all used to the same holiday specials, which are really great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a long time since we had a classic.
Yeah.
And it would really be nice to have something that incorporates history. Because one of my motivations to writing this book initially was to try to get people more interested in history. I love trying to make history more interesting for kids and get them to see something that they wouldn't normally get involved in. And this is something that actually has a lot of history in it.
Yeah. Now, would this movie have been a documentary-like, or would it have been a fictional movie?
It would have been a documentary.
Okay.
But it would have incorporated a lot of different fun stuff, a lot of graphics and stuff. And I'm always trying to make the subject light as well. I'm trying to make it very digestible for any type of age group. And as a matter of fact, this is a good way of me talking about my career as a cartoonist, is that I didn't want anyone getting bored with my book, so I put an intermission in it, so to speak, by putting the middle part, a collection of the world's greatest snowman cartoons. So I've just had a break in the book, and I just put in together like a bunch of cartoons. I had a couple of empty spaces that I decided to just fill myself. And I just did a couple of cartoons myself, which was successful. People kind of got good feedback on it, and I kind of enjoyed doing them. And after the book came out, one of the cartoonists, Sam Gross, who's one of the greatest cartoonists living now, he invited me to the New Yorker lunch. They have that traditional lunch where everyone gets together on a Tuesday. And I was invited for my birthday, and I liked it. I mean, I enjoyed everyone's company. I was really impressed by the people I met, and I asked how I can get involved. And they said, well, come back next week with 10 sketches. And that is how I began my career at the New Yorker.
Oh, that's great. And we have we're going to put on our Facebook your Thanksgiving greeting to our listeners as well. We didn't share that earlier this week. We want to share it this weekend. And so that you know, great animation there, and you know, so you know, that's just amazing that we, you know, The New Yorker, and of course this wonderful book. I would love to see this made into a movie. It's a really interesting concept, and I'm sure that there is much more that we have not touched on. And you know, it would just make for a wonderful movie. Just someone who has to sit through so many documentaries that I have no interest in the topics. This is a topic that I would be really, really interested in learning more about.
Well, thanks. I mean, I really appreciate that excitement, and I guarantee you would be surprised as you read more about the book, because The Snowman's kind of a reflection of man, so there's a lot of parallels, and you find yourself saying, wow, that goes back to this and that, and it all goes back to why we're here and stuff. The snowman making began because man has two instincts, to put one thing on top of another and to always want to make a likeness of himself.
Oh.
So,
I know someone who... I know someone who really likes to put things on top of some, you know, other things. So that definitely fits. And I know a lot of people who like to look at themselves in the mirror. So, you know, Bob Eckstein, thank you so much for joining us. The book is called The History of the Snowman. And people can buy it, on Amazon and yep. In stores as well?
Yep.
Absolutely. So, you know, we definitely hope that people go and check that out. And look forward to the movie. We really hope that happens.
Thanks so much, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, that was Bob Eckstein, a great cartoonist with The New Yorker, among other things. You can visit his website, bobeckstein.com. Once again, bobeckstein.com. And also our Facebook page, as Joseph mentioned, we've put up one of his great cartoon sketches there for Thanksgiving.
Yes, that's on the first there. 3D Thanksgiving. I think you can actually use 3D glasses to make it.
I think so. Yeah, it's great. So we'll have to pick some of those up. If I see Frozen in 3D, I'll have to keep those glasses.
Yeah. A little bit different glasses, but yeah, you know what?
No, duck glasses.
Yes, duck glasses. But you know, of course, the song that's going to take us into our break is from Jack Frost. We all were just talking about it. Frosty the Snowman, Michael Keaton.
Wow, Michael Keaton does everything. He's
sings.
He's a snowman. He does a lot of great stuff.
Yes. He's a rock star.
Absolutely.
He is a little different version of the tune.
He is the man. Well, of course. This is Breakthrough Entertainment right here on 1480 AM KPHX. When we come back, we'll talk about the film Philomena, that correctly.
Philomena.
Coogan, right?
Absolutely.
And I know a Philomena as well.
Oh, very good. I'll have to find out what that is because I have no idea. We'll be back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
We're back home to the place we belong. Breakthrough Entertainment, Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo, and of course, once again, a special thanks to Bob Eckstein, a great cartoonist with The New Yorker. Check out his great work online at bobeckstein.com, and also his Thanksgiving 3D sketch there on our Facebook page. To get there, go to Break, B-R-E-A-K, radioshow.com, click the big F, like us on Facebook, check it out. So some great stuff there. Coming up, we're going to talk about the film Philomena, which written by Steve Coogan, who I love, but I've noticed something. I haven't seen it, haven't heard much press on this film, but we'll find out what Joseph thinks about it in a moment. But
it's a
drama. Yeah, Emma's in it as well, Judy Dench. But yeah, the drama. You know, Steve Coogan, we're used to these great comedies, and I'm interested to hear what Joseph thinks about this.
Yeah. Well, before that, the song that brought us into the segment, "Coming Back Home" by the Black Seeds from Eight Below.
Eight Below.
Yeah, it's our snow show, of course.
Yes.
And Eight Below. Of course, Snow Dogs and all that. Snow Dogs is another one we're going to
Snow Dogs is without a doubt the greatest film of our time. Cuba Gooding Jr., just amazing. Academy Award-winning performance. He should have got one for that as well, like he did with Jerry Maguire. Unbelievable performance, and the dogs were amazing as well.
Right, but Eight Below was...
Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah, of course I am.
Of course,
80% of the time.
Eight Below was a little bit better of a movie. A little
I didn't
serious.
See Eight Below, but...
That was, of course, Paul Walker.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So a little more serious of a movie.
And Paul Walker in a serious... Very good.
Well, that's still...
No, I'm just kidding. No, I actually think he's a pretty good actor, because I love the Fast and the Furious franchise. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, but of course, Philomena, as you said, Steve Coogan wrote it. He also stars in it. He plays a world-weary political journalist who picks up the story of a woman's search for her son. The woman is played by Judy Dench, again, M. who was taken away from the son was taken away from her decades ago after she became pregnant and was forced to live in a convent. Wow. So she's living in this convent. They take her baby away from her and her son, and then they
she's like a slave, right?
Well, essentially, yeah. She's doing all this work for them, and you know, in this convent, and the nuns only let her see her son and all these other women as well. So this is not just one woman. This is a whole bunch of women who have had babies out of wedlock, and you know, when they're younger and stuff, and their babies are taken away from them. But they all live in this convent, and they're only allowed to see their children, you know, I think a few times. I forget if it was a few times a week or something like that, or only an hour a day or an hour a week. Mm-hmm. So it really, really sad. And then they take that baby or that kid and they adopt it out without the wow. mother's permission. So this happens to her, and then she's, you know, of course she's a young girl when this happens, and then she's much, much older now. She's Judi Dench, and so she's still got all this heartbreak over this. She wants to find her son. She's not sure what happened to him, but she wants to find her son.
Wow, so, interesting.
Yeah, and so Steve Coogan goes along to you know, he reluctantly helps her out with this, and you know, of course, this movie, as Eric just said, M is Judi Dench. What was interesting is I think this movie still remained an R, but the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America, gave this an R rating because they use a certain word that you can only use in PG-13 movies once. You can
only
use, it's like the word.
It's once now, not three times anymore?
You can only use it once if you want a PG-13. They used it twice.
Really? So it got R because of that. You know, I remember Jason Segel also talking about the male body part, where if it's shown a certain amount of times, you know, in an R-rated film, then it has to move to NC-17. Yes. And it's amazing how the rating system actually works with that.
Right, right. And, you know, so that they, Judi Dench went to you know, YouTube and all that stuff, and I think she did a Funny or Die thing with Will Ferrell, not with Will,
nice.
Will Ferrell, but of
right.
course that's his company.
Sure.
To try to get the MPA, she was as M.
Uh-huh.
She was trying to, you know, get people to do something, you know, to get the MPA to lower the rating back down to a PG-13, so people can actually see this mm-hmm. and enjoy the wonderful story, because it is a very wonderful story.
Yes.
This is a very strong thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly, you know, you see Steve Coogan, you think it's going to be hilarious. It's mm-hmm. not. It's more of a drama, but some humor mixed in there.
Because of my Saturday morning issues, maybe I got it mixed up. According to IMDb, it is PG-13,
okay.
So they may have
maybe
got it back down.
Maybe they did then.
Yeah, unless
hopefully they did, because there's nothing wrong.
Oh, I didn't
wrong.
Change. Oh, no, I didn't put my contacts in. Maybe I should. No.
Well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with the movie. You know,
yeah.
there's
just because
like,
of that one
exactly.
word.
There's no violence. There's no sex. There's, you know, it's just a very, you know, it's a drama.
Yeah.
It's what?
It's a drama.
I walked in back into the room and I heard no sex, no violence. I'm like wondering why you'd go see it.
Well, yeah, no, that's what I'm thinking.
Do you want to see a movie with Judi Dench with sex in it?
No, maybe when she was younger.
Yeah, maybe when she was younger. I'm sure she was very hot.
Helen Mirren used to be hot.
She did, actually. Yeah, I saw something with her from like the late 80s. For like 70. Yeah. If that's what you like, Eric, good for you, man.
Nice.
Reminds me yeah. of my mother.
You like
oh.
them?
Wow. Interesting
what?
There.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, I don't think he was. He's like, what's his face? Adam Sandler's character, and That's My Boy, where he sees Grandma, and he's like, oh, yeah, you get the licks from her.
Speaking of Adam Sandler, you
grandma.
Guys like grown-ups too?
I actually did.
I thought it was okay, yeah.
It was entertaining. I won't see it again, but I
watched the train wreck the whole way through.
You did?
Thinking it was going to maybe improve.
You didn't think it did. Yeah. It was better than the first one, I thought.
It was definitely better.
Can't go wrong with Shaq and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andy Samberg. Well, I didn't really like him dancing around, but it was funny, though.
And there was some violence in that movie. Not much sex.
Yeah, it was like a big riot in his backyard.
Well, yeah. You know, Taylor Lautner leading the group of the college guys.
Yeah, he kept flipping over.
He did.
And
yeah,
that was rated PG-13.
It was.
There should have been no reason for
Filmina. But because of one extra, I'm assuming, F word.
Yes.
This, wow, unbelievable.
Yeah, so they used it twice, and Judi Dench uses it as well. So, but it's an intellectually stimulating and emotionally stirring motion picture, much more complex and complicated than most others. You know, this was directed by Stephen Frears. It's you know, it's just about a true story. It's based on a true story, by the way, mm-hmm. about a woman who is so eloquently portrayed by Judi Dench that she's the victim of a tragic injustice, and yet she has the experiential wisdom to know that if you're unable to forgive your persecutors, then you will never be able to forgive yourself. That's the theme. It's a really good message that it puts out there, and you will be so outraged during this movie. Mm-hmm. But some spiritually, you know, thing out there will curtail your collar. You won't be angry by the end of this movie. There's so much to be mad about. There's so much injustice in this movie. But somehow, Judi Dench's character, again, portrayed by Judi Dench, but she's this real woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's able to calm you down and say, okay, you know what?
Right.
If I can get past this, then so can you.
Interesting. Well, I mean, it's great to hear it. You know, you like the movie, and even though I love Steve Coogan and with all his comedies and stuff, this does sound very interesting.
It does have some comedy in there. Yeah. So,
well, it has to with Coogan writing it. You know, right. that he'll mix some stuff in. But
right.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah. He's just fantastic. I mean, she is as well. But you know, obviously, I've seen more of Steve's work.
Right. 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 And you know, but they both do a really wonderful job in this. And you know, the audience that I saw it with they were laughing a little bit harder than I was at certain things. I think it's more of an older person mm-hmm. kind of humor. I'm supposed to say. A senior person, I don't
like
know.
Like a Dave type of person.
Right,
you know?
Right.
He gets the senior discount and stuff with the movie theater.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, I'm almost there too.
Oh.
But Eric doesn't look like it, so they're going to always want to make sure. They're like, this guy's lying. With Dave, he walks up, they're like, oh, okay, a senior. And, you know, and he doesn't say anything.
Right, to
he's,
Dave.
He's not offended because he knows he looks old with the gray hair. And
they're both senior, they're both cougar chasers, both Eric and Dave, but sure. It's okay for Dave.
No, don't say that. Kathleen's listening.
Oh, that's true. That's true, but
she's 10 years younger than I am.
That's the thing. True. Technically, because of the ages of Eric and Dave, that wouldn't be like it. Now, if we were going after, you know, the Cougars, that's different because we're younger, you know, in that sense where they'll most likely be older than us still.
Yeah. And you're looking to find a woman with some experience.
There we go. Absolutely.
Judi Dench probably has plenty.
Well, that's a great grandma Cougar, so we'll stay away from that.
Right.
But of course, gilf.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, definitely go and see Philomena. Really, really strong drama. You know, Judi Dench might win an award for this come you know, Oscar time.
Absolutely.
But of course, this is our snow show, and taking us into the break is from Happy Feet 2, Bridge of Light by Pink, one of my favorite songs the year that it came out.
Absolutely.
Happy Feet 2 is a wonderful movie.
I didn't see it. I'm meaning absolutely with Pink. I like Pink.
Okay.
She's great.
Yeah, she is. She's
I didn't fantastic. At first, but I do now.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, not because of this. I'm saying I really do like Pink's music.
I like it because of this.
Oh, this is what got you turned on to Pink?
Yeah, I think her gymnastics.
I like the color.
Yeah.
Yes.
There we
really?
Go.
Really? Wow.
Absolutely.
And Greg likes to wear the color.
Sometimes I do. But this is Breakthrough Entertainment. Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo. We'll be right back.
Take it on the chin, but don't forget.